The following paid program is furnished by Raskin Resources Productions. It is for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content.
Welcome to the Patricia Raskin Show, the program that helps you turn obstacles into opportunities, challenges into solutions, and find answers to tough questions. The award-winning powerhouse voice of radio, Patricia Raskin. And now, here's your host, Patricia Raskin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Patricia Raskin Show. Always so happy to be with you each week. We are officially in our 11th year here on WPRO, and I'm very proud of that. And all of the people who've made the show possible and the sponsors who have come on and really shared their message to help our listeners turn problems into solutions. This program, this whole series of programs through this month, is brought to you by Age-Friendly Rhode Island. Age-Friendly Rhode Island is a coalition of community and state agencies, healthcare, social service providers, older adults, advocacy and faith-based organizations, as well as businesses and academics institutions. And all of these are dedicated to meeting the needs and preferences of Rhode Islanders as they age. You can learn more about their effort and join them at agefriendlyri.org. And you can find them on Facebook or Twitter, the @ AgeFriendlyRI. And today we are talking to Brenda Clement. And we're talking about housing because one of the 9 components of Age-Friendly Rhode Island is housing. And that's really a key one. And Brenda is the director of Housing Works RI at Roger Williams University. Housing Works is a clearinghouse of information about housing in our state. It releases a yearly fact book and other research to promote dialogue among policymakers about the importance of safe and affordable housing for our state's economic future and for our residents' well-being. And we're really going to talk to Brenda today about affordable options, how they can age in place. And as I said, this one of the components of the Age-Friendly Rhode Island grant is definitely housing. And it's housing, it's helping seniors to have affordable options to allow them to age safely in the community. Welcome, Brenda.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to come.
Good. Now, you are on the Housing Committee for the Age-Friendly Rhode Island Coalition.
Right. As you mentioned, Age-Friendly focuses on a number of different areas that impact the quality of life for individuals in Rhode Island as they age. And obviously, a place to live and where people live is a key component of that. So working with our colleagues from Leading Age Rhode Island and others, we look to try to address and try to look at different options for helping people with their housing challenges.
Okay. And folks, as you're listening to this, as Brenda talks about some of the challenges and the options for you in terms of Housing Works and what are some of the programs, please give us a call during the program and Brenda would be happy to answer your questions at 438-WPRO, 438-9776, or toll free 800-321-9776, which stands for WPRO. So tell us about exactly what you do. There are many components of Housing Works.
So as you mentioned, Housing Works is a research and policy organization that tries to show the connectedness between housing issues and economic development and growth, but also with education and health, and tries to put the spotlight, if you will, on particular populations and their challenges around housing needs. And so obviously our work with Age Friendly tries to help us focus on seniors and the changing housing needs that seniors need as they age and as potentially as disabilities increase as well, for them.
Aren't we one of the fastest growing states in the country for our aging population?
We are. We actually have the highest percentage of people 85 and older in the country and are in the highest ranges of countries with people who are aging. You've probably heard this statistic before that there are 10,000 baby boomers turn 65 each day. And in Rhode Island, that's on trend with the national. We don't have 10,000 each day, obviously, in Rhode Island, but it's a trend that's continuing to grow. And so we know that there's going to be a continuing demand for people for smaller units, for units that are more age-friendly, appropriate, and have, no thresholds or handicap ramps or other things to help them as they address disabilities
as
well.
So what are some of the things that Age-Friendly Rhode Island and Rhode Island in the state is doing to help seniors?
Right. So, I mean, I think in part this is through Age-Friendly Rhode Island, this has been an opportunity opportunity for us to really start to focus on this and to start to plan. And so some of the tools, I mean, there are already existing programs out there in communities for home repair and home modification. The legislature just passed a small fund of money in the budget last year to provide home modification dollars for people to help make their home age friendly and accessible as they age as well, too. We know that's not enough, but it was a good start. And so other folks with other colleagues, we want to continue to push for some tax credit relief and other relief to help homeowners make modifications to accommodate a family member or a senior in the house.
And is that existing now?
It does not exist now, but we're hopeful that we can build off of some of the momentum from the last couple of years to do that.
So, Brenda, if someone's listening to this and they have an aging parent or mm-hmm. they're aging themselves and mm-hmm. they want to downsize, mm-hmm. can they call Housing Works Rhode Island?
So they can. We are not a particular direct service agency, but we can certainly link them up to partners that they can talk to. Oftentimes, their best place of entry for some services are their local senior center in their community, where they can link them up to the various programs and resources that they may need. United Way also operates an information line called 211, which I'm sure you're familiar with, which is the essentially like 411 for information for social services. So if you mm-hmm. call 211, you'll be linked up with a worker who can help you identify and link you up to the appropriate agencies.
What would be one policy that you've instituted in the last year or two that you think is going to make a real positive change?
So the legislature adopted an accessory dwelling unit by right legislation in last session, not this past session, the session before that. And accessory dwelling units are sometimes called in-law apartments, sometimes called granny flats, sometimes called a bunch of different things and names. And it's to make accommodations to our homes so that we can accommodate a senior member. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a woman who's now alone in the big house and doesn't need the full house but wants to stay in her neighbor community, if the family creates an accessory dwelling unit and she moves into the smaller unit and the family members move into the bigger unit, then that provides, you know, transportation and services and other things for that
senior. Is there special zoning for that?
There is. The law requires it by right, but there's still, you know, obviously some local rules and regulations that you have to follow around fire and
safety. So it wasn't regulated before. It
wasn't regulated in all communities before. It was some communities had passed some local ordinances. We're still working on implementation and trying to make sure that the local ordinances that are already on the book work effectively with the state law as well, too. But we think it's a good tool to help people make necessary modifications to their house. It helps people not only with the physical space, but it also often helps the senior financially. If they can have another family member or other family living in the other part of the house to help support and pay for the house and the upkeep, that's often critical.
And would there be any accommodations like for trash services or any of that now that you have like another dwelling within the home?
Those are all good questions that we're working on around implementation here as well, too, and, you know, how it impacts city services and city resources. And those are obviously concerns for the local communities as well, too. But, you know, again, it helps that person stay age in either their home or in their own community as well, too. So we think that's an important tool. We also think, and we've started to develop some working groups to look at how can we continue to repurpose and retool nursing homes and other centers as well, too, to make them more consumer-friendly and keep people in a more apartment-like or individual resident-like
setting. And what
are
some of those proposed?
Well, again, we're very much in the thought stage at this point, but looking at best practices across the country to look at how we can accommodate and create more, you know, people want some privacy and some space and some kind of individual apartments or smaller studios type space, but still have access to a congregate space and maybe a meal site and other things.
This
but
would
still,
be in the nursing home.
Well,
not in assisted living?
No, well, it would be a mix. Assisted living is more private, but again, trying to meet the needs of all income levels and trying to look at repurposing existing mm-hmm. physical structures that we already have out there and how can we change those and modify them to change with the population.
Brenda, what do you see as the greatest need? So in Rhode Island.
In Rhode Island, affordability and the number of units available is a real critical issue.
There's a shortage of units overall
of affordable units and housing units in general. We have been greatly underproducing housing units. We did a report with Rhode Island Housing, which is our state quasi-governmental agency, in 2016, and we estimate that we need about 30 to 40,000 more units over the next 10-plus years. We are only producing well under 1,000 units per year. So the mismatch in between available units, we have an extremely low vacancy rate in Rhode Island in both the rental and homeownership market, and obviously low vacancy rate means higher costs. And for seniors and people who are, you know, who are losing income as they age, that's a really problematic mismatch.
That's where if the children or if they can live in the home,
right.
Like as you said,
right.
The ancillary dwelling.
That's right. And it's not going to be the solution to everybody, but it's part of what I think we need to do is to have an array of different solutions that fit and best address the needs of the family.
Hmm. And what is your favorite piece to work on in all of this? You've been working with housing for a long time.
I have. I've been working in the housing field in various capacities for over 20, 25 years and have had the opportunity to work with both national groups and groups out of Boston and here in Rhode Island. So advocates like me say all the time that the path to economic opportunity begins at your front door. Nothing works well in your life if you don't have that safe and decent place to get up from every day. And so I know that, you know, the work that I do is important and kind of beating the drum constantly and reminding people that we've got to pay attention to this is good and helps makes me feel like we're making a difference. And we still have lots more work to do, obviously. But
is there any funding for this? Is there like governmental or federal funding that would help with additional housing?
To build and develop housing, yeah. There is. And we have some funding voters and 2016 passed another housing bond that the governor included in her budget and that the legislature passed, which we were very grateful for and voters passed. So we're just beginning to award those funds now. And so there'll be a mixture of different housing types of housing developed, but there'll be, I'm sure, some senior housing developed as part of that.
How do you select the individuals?
The individuals, again, those are the direct service agencies. That depending on the funding sources, there may be some income requirements or income restrictions. There may be size issues, you know, in terms of size of household. And so there's an application process and a procedure that people have to follow.
So if someone's listening to this program mm-hmm. and says, you know, I need housing or my family member
yep.
needs housing,
yep.
they could call the senior center?
So I would call the senior center in their community who can link them up to appropriate local resources
where
as well, too.
Where they could apply.
Or where they could apply. Many of the units, many senior units are run by the public housing agencies, the affordable units, and the senior center can link folks up to those, but they can also link them up to city planning departments and other departments to tell them about home repair loan programs or other
Very
tools.
Good. All right. Thanks so much. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're talking to Brenda Clement, who is the director of Housing Works RI at Roger Williams University, and which is a clearinghouse for information about housing in our state. And this program is brought to you by Age Friendly Rhode Island, which is a coalition of community agencies and healthcare and older adults and advocacy and faith-based organizations and businesses, academic institutions. And all of these are coming together to help meet the needs and preferences of people in our state of Rhode Islanders as they age. And you can learn more about building an age-friendly Rhode Island at agefriendlyri.org. And on Facebook and Twitter, again, it's the @AgeFriendlyRI. And we'll be back with Brenda Clement right after the break, right here on The Patricia Raskin Show on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO. We're the voice of Southern New England, and we'll be right back.
Now, more of The Patricia Raskin Show on WPRO. Call Patricia now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO. Now, here's Patricia Raskin.
Hi, everyone, and we are back. This hour in this series for this month is brought to you by Age Friendly Rhode Island, which is a coalition of so many people in our state, including community and state agencies, healthcare and social service providers, older adults, advocacy and faith-based organizations, businesses, and academic institutions. And they've all come together, dedicated to meeting the preferences of Rhode Islanders as they age. Log on to agefriendlyri.org and join their effort to build an age-friendly Rhode Island. And you can find them on Facebook and Twitter, the at sign, and agefriendlyri. And today we're talking about one of the components of age-friendly Rhode Island, which is housing. And my guest is Brenda Clement, who's the director of Housing Works, RI, at Roger Williams University. And Housing Works serves as a clearinghouse of information about housing in our state and has a fact book and a lot of research, and she is really there. She's also on the Housing Committee for the Age-Friendly Rhode Island.
That's correct.
All right, Coalition. Welcome back, Brenda.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk now. We've talked about, the need that there's a lack of resources. We need more resources. Mm-hmm. However, what about the age of our buildings? That's something you talked about. You talked about age stock.
Right. Rhode Island has, not only is our elder population growing at high rates, as well as I already mentioned, but Rhode Island and Massachusetts have the third oldest housing stock in the country.
Wow.
And Rhode Island has the oldest rental housing stock in the country.
Right.
And so that means that our housing stock's not ADA compliant.
So these could be built in the early 1900s, for
example.
That's
right. I mean, and earlier in many cases. And while that is in some ways good for Rhode Island because it provides us with this historic beautiful building, it also is a challenge for older adults who lose their capacities around daily living and have issues with stairs or have issues with, just getting into bathroom facilities and other things. And these houses are old and difficult to modify and accommodate those changing needs.
So how are you helping with that?
So, again, some of those loan programs that we talked about, again, they're small, good starts. I consider them down payments on the investments that we need to make in the long term. We can only really do hundreds of those, provide them to hundreds of people when we really need to be providing them for thousands of people. But I think it helps us get the attention on the issue and helps us focus political voices and policy voices on the need to continue to
do
this.
And again, how do you select the people? The same thing? It depends on the community?
Right. And it depends on which program they're applying for. But there's, again, lots of folks at the local levels that can help them access those resources.
And this usually would be for people who are already in these older dwellings.
Right, and trying to make changes to help them modify themselves. And then through the public housing authorities and other private entities, there are a number of senior housing developments and senior high-rises that are available for people.
Brenda, what are you seeing as the biggest issue in housing for seniors in terms of safety?
So, again, just looking at the condition and quality of the house and helping them age, but also cost is a huge issue. I mean, when people are paying more for their housing than they can reasonably afford, HUD, our federal housing agency, says that if you pay more than 30% of your gross income towards housing, your housing is unaffordable. But if you're paying, and many households, particularly seniors, are what we consider cost burden in our state. They're paying well in excess of that 30%. And so that means that you have to make hard choices around health care, healthy food, medicine, all of those other things.
Right.
And we know and we see that on a regular basis with lots of our seniors.
Would you say the major issues around the safety would be falling? Would it be stairs are too steep?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of
everything.
All of the above, obviously, and trying to make sure that they can access the house and live comfortably and safely in the house.
Okay. What would be your closing thoughts? I mean, what is your main message to our listeners today in terms of having affordable housing, being in housing that they feel safe with, and meeting their need when there's a shortage of housing?
Right.
What would you say?
So with the current resources that we have from both federal and state government, only one in out of four people who need housing assistance actually can get it.
Okay.
And that, to me, is a crisis. And so we need to get the attention and understand that people need that safe and decent place to lay their head at night if they go in, prematurely into nursing homes, if they go into health hospital systems and other things, those are much more costly systems for them to be in. If we can keep people comfortably and safely housed in their homes longer, that's a much better outcome for them.
So what can we, the citizens, do and the listeners do?
Call your elected officials. Tell everybody about your mother, your grandmother, your aunt, your everybody that you know.
Elected official, your councilman, anyone
who will listen. Your city, I mean, everybody's got different resources that they can utilize, zoning and allowing some of these accessory dwelling units.
I'm sure congressmen and senators that specialize in this or focus in this area.
Our congressional delegation in Rhode Island is very supportive and works closely on trying to maximize the federal resources to us, but we need more.
Okay. Well, it's wonderful. And can people contact you?
Of course, yes. And at Housing Works website are all of our contact information and also our fact book and a senior brief around housing and seniors and some other resources that people might
Let me hold that up for a minute in the webcam.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful 2017 housing fact book, and this is free to the public.
It is. You can download it from our website, and other resources are there.
And again, you log on to housingworksri.org.
Correct.
And you can always ask for Brenda. Brenda, thanks so much for being on the program.
Thank you again. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, folks. Brenda Clement, Director of HousingWorks RI at Roger Williams University. And again, it's housingworksri.org. All right, and next up, also brought to you by Age-Friendly Rhode Island, will be Betsy Sherry. And she has co-authored this book with her sister, this wonderful book, Aging Parents, The Essential Resource Guide for Peace of Mind. And we're going to talk about communication with our seniors, with our relatives. And, I mean, the book has just so many resources about everything, from money to communication to abuse to everything. So it's a wonderful resource book, and we're talking to Betsy Sherry next. And again, this program has been brought to you by Age Friendly Rhode Island. Log on to agefriendlyri.org. And all of these interviews will be housed on the agefriendlyri.org site. So check it out. All right, we're going to take a break. I'm Patricia Raskin, right here on The Patricia Raskin Show at News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO. We're the voice of Southern New England, and we'll be right back.